This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
8 Jaguars, 4 weeks. Yamava Resort and Casino at San Manuel is giving away 2 Jaguars every Thursday starting January 8th. Club Serrano members, play to earn entries for your chance to win a new luxury crossover SUV. Join for free today and don't miss your chance to drive off in a Jaguar. More cars, more chances to win. Only at Yamava Resort and Casino, celebrating its 40th anniversary. You in? Details at yamava.com. Must be 21 to enter. Please gamble responsibly.
Welcome to Speed City with John Massengill, Les Kaiser, and Jonathan Green. It's the fastest hour on the radio. Speed City.
Good evening, gearheads. Welcome to Speed City. Live from Austin, Texas, 30 days away from the Formula One United States Grand Prix right here in our little town, Les Kaiser.
Boom chakalaka.
Boom chakalaka. That's a good little precursor to something we're going to play later
tuned.
In the show.
Find out who sang those words.
This John Massengill, that's Les Kaiser. Jonathan Green is off this week. He's doing a little vacation. Actual just get away, get on a plane, and not...
He goes to all these cool places, and he still needs a vacation?
Yep.
Where do I get that job?
Yes, sirree. All right, so let's talk about what we're going to talk about. We're going to have... we're going to have a lot of Formula One discussion. We got the week off Formula One this week, but we're going to talk some Formula One. We're going to talk MotoGP because Aragon was the race this morning, early, and awesome race because, as you'll hear, Valentino Rossi was back in action.
23 days. Snap a leg in half.
In two places he broke his leg.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk a lot about that. And we are really one of the most exciting things today. We're going to have Jeremy Shaw on the show at about 7:30, and Jeremy is one of those patriarchs of motorsports broadcasting. He's been around for a long time and has been on the show a bunch. He's actually calling IMSA today as we speak, finishing up out there. And he's probably most claim to fame is that he's the founder of the Team USA Scholarship, helping young Americans in race get started in racing. And he's been doing that since 1990. And to top it off, one of his students won the IndyCar Championship last weekend, Joseph Newgarden.
We know that guy.
And we actually had an interview with Joseph Newgarden that we did right after the race last weekend. But since we were on the air while the race was on, we didn't get to play that interview. So we're going to play that interview or a good bit of it before Jeremy comes on, because that'll kind of be a nice lead in to Jeremy, because he was... He knew Joseph Newgarden when, back when he was just a little teenager. I think he started with Joseph Newgarden when he was 17 years old. So Jeremy's going to come on. And Les Kaiser went up to to the Dallas-Fort Worth area yesterday for the flat track racing. We're going to talk about that.
Absolutely. It was a great show put on by Indian, the Lone Star National Half Mile, first time at the Texas Motor Speedway dirt track.
That's very cool. And they're going to replay that on NBC. I think it's whatever the 28th is coming up.
Right. It'll be this week later on. So
yeah.
Definitely check that out. It was really entertaining. I saw a lot of familiar faces there too. So it was really cool to see folks I knew that were at the MotoGP races here.
Yeah, like Kevin Swanson and some other folks, right?
Yeah, Kevin was there. There's quite a few. You know, the Texas Motorcycle Academy, saw some of their instructors there.
Awesome.
I saw boot camp people there, but we'll get into that shortly.
All right. So we're going to start off with Formula One, because We're going to take advantage of this week off and talk about a couple of little aspects of Formula One, to go a little more in depth than rather than just talking about the past weekend's race. And I'm going to start off with something I want to talk about, and that is some of the changes in Formula One since it's owned by a United States-owned company, Liberty Media. And of course, just a quick background on Liberty Media, they are an American company, and they purchased a controlling interest in Formula One late last year. And Liberty Media is composed of several companies. They own, for example, they own the Atlanta Braves, they own the Discovery Channel, and they also own, and I say own, they are either some or a controlling interest in all of, either all or a controlling interest in all these companies, and of course, SiriusXM. So they are well known. John Malone is the CEO, and of course, Chase Carey is the CEO of the Formula One division. And so we've been really excited to see what they're going to do. And there have been some subtle changes so far this year. And, you know, they've kind of got Chase Carey has said that he's got a 5-year plan, Les. And so the things they're implementing are noticeable, but not, I'd say, evolutionary rather than revolutionary. So,
well, to me, the spectrum of what is already starting to show up. And I'll say the one thing I really enjoy are the top three qualifier interviews you see down on the track just after qualifying.
That's a great example.
I like that. It's a little more exposure to these drivers and to get to know them just a little bit better.
Yeah, that's a great example. And just little things, too, from showing the miles per hour instead of just kilometers per hour. Because, you know, you're always doing the math in your head. You can do it. But, you know the big ones, like 200 miles an hour is about 320 kilometers an hour. And you know all those, but it's just nice to have to see when they're going through a corner at 120 miles an hour instead of, you know, because some of those numbers are just hard to convert. So little things like that.
More and more G-force use in that. I like that.
Oh, yeah.
I'm waiting to see what's going to happen here. We already saw them hit. It was over 4 Gs at one point this year. I think it was almost 5, they said.
Yeah, it was. I saw, you know, they show the little meter, and so I don't know if they show the exact number, but it was closer to 5 than 4. Closer to 5 Gs instead of 4. So some of the other things that they have done, they've relaxed the social media rules. And, you know, teams had previously been barred from sharing any footage from during a Formula One session, whether that be the race, qualifying, or practice.
Well, remember Lewis Hamilton kind of got a little finger shook in his face for Snapchatting from the paddock.
It was really just ridiculous, right? So now teams can share videos from the paddock and social media. Now they can't put up. There's certain things they can't do and protect the investment of the broadcasters, and that's what That's what it should be. So that's cool. And speaking of social media, I really wanted to focus on YouTube, because I don't know if you know this, but they didn't even have a YouTube account until 2015. Formula One didn't. So it's
not exactly ahead of the curve,
which seems just insane considering the way television is going now. You're hearing about NFL ratings, right? Now, I'm not going to get into any of the political stuff that happened today on the NFL, but the NFL is not in a free fall, but they're in a pretty, it's a ratings crisis, I'd call it, because they're down like 15%. And as we know here in the United States, NFL is the 300-pound gorilla. Well, Formula One didn't even have what I was getting at is that television's changing, right? And YouTube is one of those huge factors in the change of television. Like, my 19-year-old does not watch television. He watches YouTube. That's where he gets his video entertainment. He's probably 80% from
YouTube. My girls are watching YouTube, Amazon, Netflix, et cetera. I mean, that's generally where they get everything. And, you know, I'm starting to come around that way myself, looking to figure out how to duplicate what I'm getting on cable with my select packages, you know, that are heavy.
You and everybody else. Everyone.
How to get there.
Is having that conversation. Jonathan just went through that same whole rigmarole, as we used to say. But so in February of 15 is when Formula One launched their YouTube site. Well, they didn't put much on there. It was kind of ridiculous. You know, they were averaging back, you know, since they launched it and until Liberty took over, they were probably averaging 200 subscribers a day because they weren't putting anything up there. It was kind of dumb. I was like, what, you know, no one wanted to go see.
For a worldwide entity like that.
Yeah. And then, so when Liberty took over, starting this year, the subscribers started spiking, where now they average, on a race weekend, they're averaging new subscribers about 1,500 subscribers every weekend. And there's some big spikes.
700%.
Yeah. So, and you know, they've had weekends where they've had 10,000 subscribers added to their YouTube account. So their growth is phenomenal, right? So it's going sky high. And it's, and of course, so are the daily views and all those other statistics that would go along with that. But more importantly, from this discussion, is the content they're putting up there. They're putting up a full race highlight video every week after the race. And you know, it's a great way to catch up. To me, what I like to do is I like to watch it after the race. I've already watched the whole race, but I'll go back and watch the whole highlights. And it's several minutes long, and it's a really cool to just rewatch the race. And I, in fact, sometimes I'll watch it two or three times in a week, you know, just whether it's on my phone at lunch or, you know, any
catch
time.
Catch the highlights and things just like that. You know, and it really does. It goes back to Bernie Ecclestone's view of social media and what was involved with things like that. And, you know, we've talked about that, but it always makes me kind of fondly remember my father, who at 90 years old would print out an email and sit in his chair and read the email. Dad, that's part of the reason it's in an email.
My brother, who's a lot younger than your dad, did the same thing for many years. He would have his staff print his emails and bring them to him. I was like, dude, come on. All right, so I'm going to move down the list of things I wanted to talk about, the changes in F1 since Liberty Media. Obviously, social media is a big one, right? You know, they started with some fan fests, right, like we had here.
Right.
They did one in the Spanish Grand Prix, and then they had the big event at Silverstone. That was a huge success. And I think I was looking at how many people were watching that live, of course, on YouTube, and it was, I don't remember, but it was a big number that were watching that on YouTube. And that was a big, you know, they had all the cars running through in London. Wasn't that a cool event?
Oh, I thought it was great. I thought it was great. And I'd love to see, you know, what was done here before the track was completed. Red Bull doing donuts out by the Capitol, and they had some cool, you know, scenes going out and ultimately getting on the property before it was even finished. But I'd love to see that come back. We saw it with the Infinities and, you know, the Red Bull team out there playing on Congress Avenue. Congress Avenue is one of our central business streets here in Austin, and it goes up to the Texas State Capitol. You know, it's a cool scene. You can imagine that with some race cars playing around. But I totally agree, you know, having that type of interaction before the race, I'd like to see that again around here.
Another one that I want to talk about is marketing. You know, before Formula One, and all stems goes back to the social media and stuff, marketing, and, you know, there was almost no evidence of marketing activity by the old regime, right? It's just crazy. And it's changing, and it's getting better race to race, and you know, you'll see more and more of that. But another big one is paddock passes. Bernie Ecclestone used to say that his idea was that he kept people out of the paddock, and the more exclusive and an elite the sport would appear. Yeah, there's definitely, I understand that, and I believe that. I mean, you and I saw
downright
this.
Downright snobby.
Yeah, we saw this from day one. It was like, you felt like you were getting into Fort Knox, getting into the paddock at F1, and I get it. I want it to be good security, but it doesn't need to be over the top, you know?
Sure. One example, you know, We know COTA like the backside of our hand, and I've got this one little path that I take. If the paddock is full, I take a secret little path that avoids a lot of it, which you know, means I go vertical and go down the garage buildings on the walkway up, and I come back down on the far end in one of the exit hallways. Well, I did that, and you know, realizing these, if you've ever worked in a high-security employer or worked in one of those buildings, you have your little badge, and you got a badge in and out of the doors and things like that. So same thing in an F1 paddock. I go badge in, I go upstairs, I get on that walkway, and I zip, and I go down, and I come down the hallway, stairs, and down through the stairwell. I step outside the door, and there's a badge reader right there. I go ahead and, bells and alarms go off, and the guy's immediately confronts me, and he's
because you didn't follow the correct path.
A big foreigner. No, actually, he said, you know, he took my badge and he looked at it and he checked it. And it's like, okay, it's valid and everything. Why did it just go off? How did you get here?
Yeah, because you went.
And I explained. I said, yeah. I do this at these races all the time here to avoid the crowd right here. And I pointed to him and he just goes, oh, no. He goes, somewhere you missed a badge reader. He goes, you should have been read on your way in. I said, no, I hadn't been read on my way in. Told him how I did it. And he goes, we'll take care of that. Please go back the way you came from.
A great example. So that's just going to get better and better this year.
That's how tight that is.
And hopefully that's going to get better and better for more fans, you know, like maybe better access on Friday for fans.
Friday and Saturday, I'd love to see more folks get in there. You know, Sunday is when all the movie stars and all that crowd come, but I would love for y'all to be in there with us.
Get them in there on Friday.
Out,
yeah.
You know, cool. Look behind the scenes, you know, offer a Friday paddock pass. You know, with maybe some of the reserve seats kind of thing.
Yep. And hopefully we're just going to see more and more of this. But there's a lot more changes to come from Liberty Media, hopefully. And everything, you know, they've talked about another race in the United States. That's definitely on the burner. And the way that Chase Carey addressed that, he was saying, look, we definitely want to do that. But we don't want to, we want to be smart with every step we take. And that's a big one. So...
I think that's great.
Yeah.
You know, you don't want to throw everything out there at one time.
All right. Well, we're going to go ahead and take a break. When we come back, Les has got some Formula One stories that he wants to talk about. We're also going to talk about MotoGP because they were in Aragon. But as we go to break here, I want to play you one of the YouTube. This is cut up just a little bit, but it's one of the audio from one of the YouTube videos that Formula One puts out.
What's the account name of it?
I believe it's just here. I got it up. I think it's just /F1. Yeah, it's just Formula One. So as we go to break here, this is the best of the race audio. In other words, the teams communicating with the cars, and they put this out every week. So we're going to play this on the way to break, and we'll come back and we'll talk some more Formula One, some MotoGP. Listen to Speed City in Austin, Texas.
Did we beat the McLaren or not?
You're in front of both McLarens. Excellent work.
Yeah, baby, in your face.
Superb job, Nico, superb.
P1, Sebastian, pole position. Nice one.
Yes! Ragazzi, che grande! Oh, I took the wall badly. Out of 19, but I had to go for it. Grazie. Oh, I got damage,
Yeah. No idea, you okay, mate?
Yeah, I'm okay, but it's just ridiculous.
Yeah, I spun, lost the car. I think I have damage on the...
Yeah, big damage. Left. Big damage on the side pod. Stop the car.
You sure?
Yes, we know we're out of water pressure.
I confirm I stopped the car, correct?
Yes, stop the car now.
Okay, sorry guys. P0. Sorry. I'm really sorry.
Well done, Chidi. Well done. Next target, Van Dorn.
Leave me alone. I need full focus, guys. Don't talk to me.
Has everyone changed tires except me? I'm not sure that was a good idea, is it?
Press the button. Come on, shut up. Slow down. We have lost him. M2K, slow down.
Oh, sake. Guys, what can I say? What a turnaround today. Fantastic job with the strategy. Thank you so much for all the hard work and the continued belief in me. What a great day.
Vai, cavolo. P4, Carlos. Boom, shakalaka. Grand.
Vamos. Toma.
Racetrack. It's where legends are born, where only the finest machines earn their reputation for innovation and dominance. Such are the nameplates you'll find at Aston Martin of Austin, Lotus of Austin, Bentley Austin, and Rolls-Royce Motorcars. Austin exotic, iconic automobiles whose racing heritage turns everyday driving into an inspiring journey, because you're never just along for the ride. Highway 183 north of McNeil Road. Precision Camera and Video is the largest camera store in Texas with over 10,000 square feet and packed with all the latest manufacturer offerings. Founded in 1976 and still owned and operated by its founders Jerry and Rosemary Sullivan, Precision Camera is committed to the finest customer experience. With hand-picked products and on-hand experts, you won't find a more helpful, knowledgeable, and accommodating sales staff for quality service. Come see for yourself, Precision Camera and Video, 2438 West Anderson Lane. MV Agusta motorcycles are the epitome of Italian style, precisely crafted with a passion for two-wheel art on wheels. Ducati Austin are the only MV Agusta and Ducati factory-authorized technicians in Austin, servicing all European brands. Check the Brutale Sport Naked, the most extreme essential naked bike ever. Or the Turismo Veloce 800, the first revolutionary tourer to be built by MV Agusta. Or if you want a pedigree steeped in racing, then look no further than the World Supersport winning triple F3, 675 and 800. Or go all out for the ultimate legendary F4 MV Agusta. Italian style with Texas soul. Trade-in, consignments welcome and financing available. Ducati Austin and the home of MV Agusta at 818 Breaker Lane, just east of I-35.
Top 1370.
Hi, this is Mario Andretti, and this is Speed City.
Sammy Hagar. That's cool. I knew we had to add this to our music after he came to Coda a couple weeks ago.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, very cool. Very cool.
All right, so we were talking Formula One. I hope you guys liked that little clip we played at the end because they
do the radio outtakes.
Yeah, the radio.
Chakalaka.
Because it's really cool, and check out the F1 YouTube. But we're going to talk some more Formula One because Les wants to talk about his particular topic of Formula One this week.
Hey,
what do you got, Les?
So you know, my favorite sports car. You know which company that is.
Yes, Mr. Porsche boy.
Oh, yeah. You know, there's a lot of rumors going on. And in fact, I spoke to one of the Porsche team members here at the Le Mans about it. And he said, you know, that the rumor about Porsche and F1, what is this? He goes, it's real. He goes, but it's probably not what you think. He said, Porsche is stepping away from the Le Mans prototype racing to focus on a couple of things. And for one, the electric vehicle that they're going to bring out, which is cool. That's a whole nother story.
All electric, not hybrid.
All electric. And so really what they are looking at doing, the German company is entering Formula One, not as a full-fledged car, not anything like that, but as an engine supplier. Based on the 2021 regulations.
Are they sure they want to do this after Honda's?
Yeah. but you know, that's one of those things. It's not necessarily a given that they will be an engine provider. What they are doing is they're providing consulting to FIA. They were invited into FIA, and they're participating in the discussions about future powertrains, Formula One being the obvious one. But also, just with their obvious success in Le Mans prototype with the 919, they've got a lot of head start on a lot of companies when you're talking about performance from that. And so this is where they are working throughout at WSOC, and they are not necessarily working on an F1 engine at the moment, but more working on the high efficiency of an engine concept and how to tie it in with multiple technologies. So essentially hybrids, and how are some creative ways of doing that. Now, the company Porsche has already commented that they're going to Formula E. So that's looking really good for the 2019 is when that's looking towards. So again, headed towards Formula E, 100% electric, how they use it, generate it, conserve it, et cetera, obviously is something that they're looking at. So that's going to be really exciting.
And I know
I've kind of poo-pooed on Formula E some because I don't like the fan boost, the 10th grade you know, popularity contest voting stuff. But I think Porsche can bring something to it.
Well, I know that, as much as gearheads as we are, I know that electric vehicles – I think we're about to see kind of a tidal wave of electric vehicles. And then if you follow the industry closely, you're going to say, yeah, duh. But I think it's really going to be bigger and faster than we all expect. You know, that's what it was. We said this with Andrew Craig from World Endurance Championship out at the circuit on our show out there on the PA system. But I think it's going to be a big tidal wave of electric vehicles, and you're going to see more and more of it. So Porsche, to me, this is a natural step for them, is to go do take it to the test bed.
I agree. You know, one of the things, the concept vehicle that they're messing with now is called the Mission E. And imagine, if you will, a Tesla, but with a Porsche personality and character to it. And so they're headed that way. Yeah, I definitely do. You know, my frustration with the Tesla since the first was that I feel like it was and yes, I'm good friends with the local Mazda dealer, but it just looks like a regular Mazda four-door. You know, I just saw that in the design, and it wasn't as exciting as the technology and everything about the Tesla does. I mean, you know, the performance acceleration, the electronic technology, all of that. I just think it needs more gee whiz cool factor to it.
Yeah. Well, having the success that Porsche had stepping back into the World Endurance Championship, where they quickly went to the top and were champions, I don't really expect any less of, if they do step into F1 engine manufacturing, I would expect them to be pretty successful pretty fast. Now, I know that's a whole new ball game. I know it. I mean, look, Honda's a huge company. They they've had really a lot of trouble, let's face it. So I don't know. I just feel like Porsche would step in and do really well with engine technology in Formula One. So I'd be really excited to see that. Hope it happens.
Well, you know, I think that's really exciting. I find it interesting that they were invited by FIA to come in and help work on these, the designs and the capabilities, how to control them, how to offer improvements. But I kind of blew by the Porsche Mission E car. Like I said, this is rumored to actually make it to production, hopefully in 2019, 100% electric, approximately 590 horsepower, electric horsepower, and 0 to 60 speculated at a low 3 second. Not bad. Tesla does that, but you know,
Tesla's faster than that.
Yeah, Tesla actually is faster than that. We're getting into the ludicrous mode nowadays. But think about that, you know, a 4 or 5 passenger car, a little bit different personality if you're not into the Tesla personality that it comes with. The graphics they show, good looking cars.
All right. Well, we're going to go ahead and play an interview that we have done with Joseph Newgarden. We're going to play a portion of it because we have a long interview we did. We put it up on our YouTube and SoundCloud account. Well, we're going to play this clip, this interview with Joseph, right after he came off of the podium winning the championship in IndyCar last week. And here's Joseph Newgarden.
Okay, Speed City fans, I am delighted to welcome to the show once again Joseph Newgarden, who I know he's going to like the sound of this, is the new IndyCar champion. I mean, I know you've done a bunch of interviews and I'm sure you're exhausted, Joseph, but has it sunk in now?
You know, it has, just a bit. It took me a good cool down lap. You know, once I finally got to the interview process, I felt like that was the time I felt like we'd won the championship. It was something we achieved and it was over and done with. So, unbelievable day. You know, so cool to be able to do this with Team Penske. And it was a lot of work. I haven't slept in the last week, I'll be honest with you. So, I'm excited it's over and done with.
I'll bet. Somebody asked me how exciting the race was, and I said, well, actually, it wasn't that exciting unless you were Joseph Newgarden. Give me an idea of, I mean, I saw the interviews before the race. You looked pretty relaxed, and you said, look, I'm just going to treat it like any other race, but it wasn't any other race.
It's true. I mean, you know, for me, I think that was the best defense is an offense, to be honest with you. So, you got to be aggressive. You got to be offensive. You got to try and just do what you've done in other races to win them. You know, but then obviously for this race, there's also some points involved that you got to start thinking about. You got to think about the championship. So, I think my mentality going into it was treat it as a normal race, and then as it starts to develop, let's start playing the points out and see what's going on, and then put a couple pieces together.
All right. Well, so we have that entire interview with Joseph Newgarden up on both our YouTube channel and our SoundCloud account. So check us out. check it out, because it was really exciting to have a young American win the IndyCar Championship. And he asked the question specifically, what's it, you know, are you ready to take the flag for America in IndyCar? And so go to our different outlets, YouTube and SoundCloud, and check that out. But we're going to go ahead and take a break. And when we come back, we're going to try to get Jeremy Shaw on the phone, because he's just coming off the air out of the IMSA race. And after that, we're going to have a little more discussion about flat track. So you listen to Speed City live from Austin, Texas, back after these messages.
If you've ridden motorcycles in this part of the country for long, no doubt you know of Bud's Motorcycle Shop. Bud left this world a while back, but his legendary Harley service rides on. No longer is Bud's in downtown Austin, it is now Ravel's Heavy Duty, and they've moved out by the Formula One track. You'll see all the familiar faces, so bring in your new, used, and abused, but there's no sign of shiny showroom prices. So check it out at Ravel'sHeavyDuty.com.
Precision Camera and Video is the largest camera store in Texas, with over 10,000 square feet and packed with all the latest manufacturer offerings. Founded in 1976 and still owned and operated by its founders Jerry and Rosemary Sullivan, Precision Camera is committed to the finest customer experience. With hand-picked products and on-hand experts, you won't find a more helpful, knowledgeable, and accommodating sales staff for quality service. Come see for yourself, Precision Camera and Video, 2438 West Anderson Lane.
This is David Hobbs, and you're listening to Speed City.
Welcome back. When we went to break, we had played a clip from Joseph Newgarden, fresh off his new IndyCar championship. That's pretty cool to say, isn't it? Young American.
Oh, yeah.
And so, speaking of young Americans, we have
somebody that helps get them there. That's cool.
We got the man when it comes to getting young Americans moving up the ladders. And we're really excited to welcome back to Speed City, Jeremy Shaw. Jeremy, how are you?
Hey, John. Hi, I'm fantastic. Thank you very much indeed.
I would imagine you're probably exhausted. You've been calling the IMSA race out there in Monterey at Mazda Raceway, haven't you?
I certainly have. It was a sensational race, too, so I've not got much of a voice left. But, yeah, a lot of fun.
Well, yeah, get us up to speed on that a little bit, because I know that Mazda Raceway is one of our favorites as well.
Yeah, it's great racetrack here. Fantastic race, 2 hours, 40-minute race. There was one brief caution period about halfway through, but just a great fight to the end. And Renke van der Zander for the VisitFlorida.com team, boy, they've had all sorts of dramas this season. But a magnificent pass by van der Zander on Dane Cameron just a few laps from the end. I mean, it was an Alex Zanardi pass going into the corkscrew. No compromise, fantastic move, and that won in the race. Really emotional victory for that team. They've had an awful time, and Florida, of course, has had a horrible time as well. So, boy, they really needed it.
Well, Ringer is a great guy. We had him on the show not too long ago. Really nice guy. Couldn't be more excited for him. That's awesome.
Yeah, it really was. I mean, he wasn't to be denied. It was a brilliant performance by that team, and he just grabbed the ball by the scruff of the neck and took the win. Super.
Well, so Jeremy, I want to ask you about. I want to start with asking you about Joseph Newgarden, because we just played an interview that we did with him. We got an interview with him right after the race last weekend, and he was just on a high. And we had asked him everything from, you know, how was it the race? But one of the big questions we asked him was just, is he ready to carry the flag for the United States in IndyCar? But I want you to talk about that. But also want to talk about you. Tell us your history with Joseph Newgarden and with Team USA and everything.
Well, yeah, I mean, the Team USA Scholarship is just a program to help out young drivers in early stage in their career. Been running it since 1990. Jimmy Vassar was the first winner that year. Brian Herta won it in 91. A whole bunch of other guys since then who've all gone on to great things. And Joseph becomes the second guy to win the IndyCar Championship after Jimmy. Buddy Rice won the Indy 500. He's a scholarship winner. It's been a great season. And Joseph, he and Connor Daly were the two winners in 2008. They went over to England. They were aged 17 and 18, respectively, I think. And Joseph won the Formula Ford Festival. Connor Daly won the Walter Hayes Trophy, which is a big Formula Ford race also at the end of the year with more than 100 cars there. And it was a brilliant year all the way around. And both of those two, you've made it to the top levels of the sport. And Joseph, as you say, just won the championship. But it was apparent right from the beginning he was a star in and out of the car, which is what I want, which I'm looking for to help, you know, for these guys to help along the ladder.
Yeah, Jeremy, talk about that, because...
How do I get on your radar, Jeremy?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you've got to be basically young, American, and talented.
Check, check. So that, oh, dang it.
In or out.
Well,
but it's, you know, it's in and out of the car. I mean, they've got to have the skills behind the wheel, but they've also... I'm looking for people who are, you know, likely... For the scholarship is likely to help them get a leg up or, you know, fight, open some doors to them so they can move on in the sport.
Okay, well, I'm serious. So which of the series do you actually look at when you're scouting?
Yeah, I'm looking at it's grassroots. I'm looking for guys that are starting out in the first, you know, year or two of their career. It's geared towards open wheel initially, but I've also considered sports car guys in the past as well. This year, you know, the drivers, they come out of SCCA, they've come out of the F1600 championship, which is the next step from Formula Ford, now running with a Honda Fit engine, but a super competitive open wheel championship. Formula Ford, the series there that Kyle Kirkwood has just won. He was a Team USA scholarship winner last year.
Yeah, coming here to Austin again. They were here, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. He clinched the championship there last weekend. Jacob Loomis is one of the candidates for this year. He's been racing in that championship as well. You know, all sorts of different grassroots things. The Lucas Oil School of Racing, that has its own little Formula car series. It's kind of taken over from the Skip Barber Racing School, which for many, many years was, you know, the way to get started in open wheel racing. They have a competitive open wheel championship. That's what Joseph Newgarden, Connor Daly, Connor DeFilippi, a whole bunch of guys came through that over the last, 15, 20 years. I mean, even Brian Herder came through that, you know, back in the early 90s. So the Skip Barber School, unfortunately, has bitten the dust. Skip Barber himself sold it many, many years ago, by the way. But that school has now, unfortunately, fallen by the wayside. But the Lucas Oil School of Racing has picked up the slack, and a couple of the kids who've been under consideration came through that this year.
Yeah, that's too bad about Skip Barber. I actually went through one of the three-day race schools Willow Springs Raceway many years ago. But, Jeremy, talk about the off-track things, because to me there's so many aspects to that, the maturity, the work ethic, being able to communicate. There's so many facets to the off-track aspects of what is going to be a successful race driver, because – I mean, we've all seen race drivers that have enough talent. They can be a complete jerk. They don't even have to have the best work ethic or whatever. It's like any other sport. But I think today it's less and less of that you see, and more of a complete package. But talk about all those different aspects of young drivers you look for.
Yeah, hugely important. Hugely important. Because you know, if you've got the money, you can do what you like. But if you haven't, and most of the talented kids don't, then they've got to have those other skills. You know, I identify 10 or 12 youngsters who are kind of initial candidates for the program. What I did this year and what I've done for the last several years, I invite them to a race meeting this year, as it's been in the past. It was at Mid-Ohio for the IndyCar weekend. We had 10 kids there. They're sort of embedded with different teams during the weekend. They all spent at least one session with an IndyCar team during a session with a headset on the engineering stand. So that's a great insight for them. They also did the same with some Mazda Road to Indy teams, either in USF 2000 or Pro Mazda or Indy Lights. And then the Pirelli World Challenge was there as well that weekend. And, you know, they spent some time with Patrick Long at Wright Motorsports in the Porsche camp. They also spent some time with Flying Lizard looking around the McLarens there as well. So, you know, it's a good immersion into the sport for those kids. And then in the evening, on Friday evening, they were all interviewed. We had a panel of judges. Patrick Long was part of that panel. Spencer Piggott was part of the panel. Joseph was there for a while, Newgarden. Mike Hull from Target Chip Ganassi Racing, Chris Wheeler from Bell USA, John Boonen was there from Mazda, T.E. McHale from Honda. I mean, a huge panel of experts covering all different aspects of the industry. And we interviewed each of the candidates, and then from there, we whittled it down to six for a shootout that took place a couple of weeks ago. So they've got to excel in front of that panel of people. And not only have they got to excel, but it's a good opportunity to them, even if they're not selected, they've now met all those people. And they're going to be really useful contacts as they move forward with their careers.
Yeah, that's really fascinating, this whole process. And Jeremy, you know everybody in the sport knows Jeremy Shaw because of what he's done for these young drivers, and of course all your fantastic commentary you do. And but it's really, Jeremy, it's really, we got to thank you for this. And I want to promote some of your stuff here. You know, the Team USA Scholarship is teamusascholarship.org, and of course on Twitter it's Team USA School. And of course, Jeremy's Twitter account is Jeremy Shaw Racer. And Jeremy, I want to thank you for coming on the show, of course, but I want to thank you for everything else you do. And anything else you want to talk about before we get off here? We got another minute or so. I know you, you're out there in Monterey, but what else you got?
Well, no, just very quickly, I mean, yes, I coordinate the whole thing, but it's the support of the industry that makes it all happen. I don't have the money. There's a whole bunch of people that put the money forward for this. One of the big contributors is the Road Racing Drivers Club, which has been around this sport since the 60s. And what the Road Racing Drivers Club now is, they mentor young drivers. That's always been part of the club's DNA. And they have this program called safeisfast.com. And for young drivers, it's a great resource to learn different aspects of the sport. Safeisfast.com. But there's many other contributors as well. Doug Mockey, is a vintage racer. Honda, Mazda, Chip Ganassi Racing, Team Penske, they all put in some money. They make this program possible. So it's and Sarco, awesome. And Bell Helmets. It's all these people that make this program possible.
That's fantastic. You know, one more question for you, Jeremy. Here at Circuit of the Americas, we had the F4 Championship come through with the World Endurance Championship, you know, the Lone Star Le Mans weekend. It was really awesome seeing these young kids in these cars, and they're coming back for Formula One, which is really incredible that these young kids are going to be sharing the racetrack with the best of the best. But also, there's Dakota is putting together their own. They have some F4 cars stashed away, and they're going to be launching a school, and I don't know all the details of this yet, but they're going to be launching this next year, and that's going to be really exciting. And I'm certain if they're smart, they'll call up Jeremy Shaw and get his opinion on how that thing should go.
Sounds good. Hopefully it is.
All right, Jeremy Shaw, thank you for coming on the show. We appreciate it, and have a good go relax after spending a whole day on the microphones out there.
Thanks so much, man. Great to speak to you, and good luck with the rest of the show.
All right, travel thanks, safe, Jeremy. Buddy. Talk to you soon. All right, well, we're going to go ahead and go to break now. When we come back, we're going to try to squeeze in a couple of things. We've got MotoGP that we really haven't gotten a chance to talk about all the way yet, so we're going to have that and a little flat track action. Listen to Speed City live from Austin, Texas, back after these messages.
Augusta motorcycles are the epitome of Italian style, precisely crafted with a passion for two-wheel art on wheels. Ducati Austin are the only MV Augusta and Ducati factory authorized technicians in Austin, servicing all European brands. Check the Brutale Sport Naked, the most extreme essential naked bike ever. Or the Turismo Veloce 800, the first revolutionary tourer to be built by MV Augusta. Or if you want a pedigree steeped in racing, then look no further than the World Supersport winning triple F3, 675 and 800. Or go all out for the ultimate legendary F4 MV Agusta. Italian style with Texas soul. Trade-in, consignments welcome and financing available. Ducati Austin and the home of MV Agusta at 818 Breaker Lane, just east of I-35. Precision Camera and Video is the largest camera store in Texas with over 10,000 square feet and packed with all the latest manufacturer offerings. Founded in 1976 and still owned and operated by its founders Jerry and Rosemary Sullivan, Precision Camera is committed to the finest customer experience. With hand-picked products and on-hand experts, you won't find a more helpful, knowledgeable, and accommodating sales staff for quality service. Come see for yourself, Precision Camera and Video, 2438 West Anderson Lane. racetrack. It's where legends are born, where only the finest machines earn their reputation for innovation and dominance. Such are the nameplates you'll find at Aston Martin of Austin, Lotus of Austin, Bentley Austin, and Rolls-Royce Motorcars. Austin, exotic, iconic automobiles whose racing heritage turns everyday driving into an inspiring journey, because you're never just along for the ride. Highway 183 north of McNeil Road.
Here, when you need us, Talk 1370 is the right choice.
Hi, this is Jeff Gordon, and you're listening to Speed City.
All right, we're going to jump right into it. We got one last segment and a lot to get in. So I want to start with a story that we found out, and we have an interview that we're not going to play it tonight because we don't have time, but we have an Austinite who is becoming, he didn't start racing until he was in his 30s and has done a fantastic job.
Which is less than 3 years ago.
Right, less than 3 years ago. And Les, why don't you tell this story, because you know him better than I do.
So Will Hardiman, you know, Austinite, we love the story. When Circuit of Americas came up, it piqued his interest about motorsports. What's going on out there at the noisy 1100 acres? And he jumped in, and, you know, before he got in a legitimate race car, the most competitive thing he told me he had ever done was ride around on the little go-kart in the yard kind of thing. And so,
Briggs and Stratton.
Yeah, yeah. And so he takes off from there. He winds up getting into the Porsche GT series with Cup guys and things like that. More Speed, you've heard us with advertising here. David Moore, Price Cobb, and in fact, Earl Bamber comes in and works with it. And
factory, that's the factory Porsche driver in the World Endurance Championship.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Bamber, who you saw on podium last week.
World champion, Earl Bamber. Let's clarify.
So Earl's got his own swagger. He's headed to the Blaupin series this weekend, and he's short a bronze driver. He's got to have one for the Pro-Am race. One pro, that's Earl, that's easy to pick out. He can take any bronze level, they still consider it amateur driver. He goes, well, there's only one guy in the world. The best one in the world's out of Texas, Will Hardiman.
Wow.
So Will goes from hanging out around this area to shooting over there to China and running that race with Earl. In the first race.
But let's pause there. He said, I can have any driver, any bronze driver in the world, and he chose Will Hardiman, a local guy, Austin.
Exactly. So, you know, hey, there's still dreams that come true. So in the first race of the weekend, they take out and go from about like eighth to fourth before the fourth turn, at which point a car spins in front of them and just spins just the right timing to clip Will's rear spoiler and break it. And he continues and finishes. Well, second race, these guys are out there. They wind up finishing second for an overall finish of fourth place. Their first time in the Blaupin.
Wow, that's awesome.
And so
we got to get Will Hardiman back on the show.
We're going to get Will and the More Speed crowd back around the microphone some. But congrats to Earl. Huge congrats to Will. What a debut on the global set there.
Yeah, we'll get him on the show. All right, let's talk MotoGP, because they were in Aragon this weekend, and it was the amazing story was, of course, Valentino Rossi breaking his leg in two places 23 days ago and comes out, qualifies, third, and comes out today and looked fantastic and ended up finishing fifth, which, I mean, honestly, let's face it. He has, you got to have fatigue issues and all the other things. So it was really pretty amazing to watch him come back and do that. And of course, it was a great race too. You know, we came into the weekend, of course, with Marquez and Dovizioso, Marquez on Honda, Dovizioso on Ducati, you know, running neck and neck for the championship. And of course, both those guys were, Marquez actually started pretty slow, and Dovizioso was battling for the podium at the beginning of the race, but he started dropping back. He had apparently the soft or maybe ultra soft rear tire, and he was blazing fast. Of course, the Ducatis are always fast in the straight line, and he was looking good. But as the race went on, you could tell he started to struggle with that soft rear tire and started to drop back. But Marquez did quite the opposite and ended up Ended up winning the race and taking a lead in the championship. It was a really great race to watch with Marquez struggling at the beginning. And in fact, we got a couple of interviews that I want to play here, a couple of clips. And in fact, let's start with the Marquez, because he talks exactly like about that, about his struggles at the beginning, how he moves on in the race. This is Mark Marquez.
Today, you know, it was so difficult race. Since the beginning, honestly, I didn't feel good with the bike. I don't know why. Maybe the tires, maybe the bike, maybe the feeling, maybe myself. I don't know. But I was not feeling good. But the fact to race here in Aragon, one of my favorite circuits, in front of our fans, I say, okay. We try. I give everything because I saw that Vinales and Dobby were struggling a little bit, and I said, okay, it's time to try to open that small advantage, and yeah, we get it. These 25 points, difficult race, but in the end, you saw on the TV, I was fighting against the bike all the race.
Yeah, it was. He was fighting, but it was obviously a great race, and he ended up doing a classic Marquez thing where he had a couple of moments during the race and ended up winning.
It is, you know, and I enjoyed watching it. I was watching the strategy not only of Marquez, but watching the guys as they manage their tires up front. And, you know, certainly I wanted to see Rossi at least maintain and land on the podium. What a spectacular, you know, race he had himself anyway. But you're right. The endurance for Rossi was tough. Tire management was a big part of it.
Yeah. Well, speaking of Rossi, I want to play his post-race interview because Valentino Rossi had, I don't know, you're just here because it's classic Valentino Rossi.
Yes, I'm very, very happy and very proud of the work because 1 week ago, I don't know if I can race. But coming better every day, and yesterday was great, start from the front row. We know that in the race we have to suffer a bit more, but anyway, it was a great race because I did a great start and I fight for the first position for all the first part. At the end, we suffer a little bit the degradation of the rear tire, and also I was tired and I feel some pain, but closing the top five for sure is a great result, and I'm so happy.
Pretty cool. You know, you realize that he missed those races. He was out for 23 days. It was in between.
Sure.
He's still sitting fifth in the championship. Right now, the championship is Marquez at 224 points. Andrea Dovizioso, who he started neck and neck with today, is down to 208 after finishing seventh today. And Maverick Vinales, who was the guy at the beginning of the season. Remember, at the first few races, we thought, man, is Maverick Vinales going to run away with this thing? And he's sitting in third with 196. So really, those three guys are still, you know, that's still neck and neck. And speaking of Maverick Vinales, let's go ahead and play the clip of his post-race interview. This is Maverick Vinales.
The hard tire for us was working really bad, especially the first laps. But then it was working quite well at the end. Not a special grip, but was improving lap by lap. But anyway, it was not enough. Our pack at the moment is not at the same level than the others, so we have to work even harder on the practice, trying to improve more. It was very difficult to understand which tire we could use. You know, for example, other races was quite clear because we could do many laps on the tires and we know which way to go. But here was very difficult. I tried to use the same tires of the opponents. I know normally Valentino have a good feeling with the tires, so he pushed for the hard. And finally, for the next races, we have to try to work even more on Friday.
Well, it was a fun weekend watching MotoGP. There's lots more to talk about Moto2, Moto3,
oh, yeah.
And I'm going to say it again. We kind of brag on this, but I love the app, the MotoGP app, and the access you get. It's not just the phone app, but the desktop version that you log into the browser, because you can watch every bit of the race.
Yep.
I love the way they highlight the spots in the race, so you can go back and look at it all again. It's really, really cool. But hey, Les, we got to shift gears, pun intended, because you made it up to the flat track race up in Dallas. And tell us about it. Now you got an interview here.
This was the inaugural visit of the American flat track racing, and it was the Indian Motorcycle Lone Star National Half Mile Race. It took place last night up at Texas Motor Speedway on their dirt track. And so, it's a separate facility right there on the big piece of property there.
It's got its own grandstands and everything,
right? It's got its own grandstands. Get this. You think this may not be that big a deal? About 8,000 people in the grandstands.
Nice.
The grandstands only hold 11.
Cool.
And it's 11,000. So fantastic event. Loved watching it. You know, be sure and check out the Facebook page for Speed City. You'll see some of the others. But anyway, you know, we had Jake Johnson from the boot camp that we've been trained by him a little bit when we go visit there.
The Texas Tornado.
Great guy.
Yeah.
But I want to focus on Shayna Texter because she is just catching the world by storm. She's racing the Pro Singles, and the Pro Single is a 450 size dirt bike, and you know, set up for flat tracking, and these things scream. They're 100 mile per hour plus on this half mile oval
with the tail end
sideways,
the tail end out the entire. It's dominated by Harley and Indian, right?
Harley and Indian. The 450 class, though, is different. The 450 is where you'll see the Hondas, the Kawasaki's,
Ducati Scramblers and
the
stuff.
The Indians, Triumphs. The Scramblers are too big in displacement for us. And so, yeah, we'll let's hear what Shayna did. She had just stepped down from the podium, and she's been on Speed City before, but here's Shayna.
Shayna, you've had quite a night. It wasn't easy, though. Mr. Carlisle kept you honest on that. The track seems slippery. Tell us about it.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, the entire field kept me honest. You know, everyone, you know, was within a tenth all day in times from the front of the field to the back. So it was such a challenging track. It was really slippery, dry. It was more, you had to be kind of mentally stronger than, you know, have the talent on the bike tonight.
And it looked like you kind of paced yourself for a while before you really, I guess, pulled the trigger, if you will, and really got into it.
I just tried to pace myself the entire race. Towards the end, you know, when you're counting down laps and, you know, guys are getting closer, it gets a little bit harder and you start trying to, you know, kind of changing the way you're riding. And this track was more about throttle finessing and being easy on the throttle. And that's what I just kept telling myself. Towards the end, I got a little antsy a couple times, which I think helped them close the gap. But we were able to secure the win, and that's all that matters.
Absolutely. Honda's doing great. McElroy Packaging's being a great sponsor for you. We appreciate those support. What's next for your next race?
Yeah, I mean, Paris is next. It's round 18 out of 18 of the championship. You know, it's been a rough championship a little bit just because I'm not really a good TT-er. You know, we've won 5 races this year, and we didn't make a couple of those mains at the TT, and then I had a flat tire at Williams Grove that cost us really hard in this championship. So we're down, but we're not out. We're going to keep plugging along, and, you know, all we can do is just go out and try and win Paris.
You got it. You know we're behind you. Good luck next race. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.
Yeah, there you go. And you know what? If you didn't make it, I'll say I saw a lot of local folks there. Check it out on NBCSN coming up. They are showing the entire season, so they'll be showing this one soon. So all of that crowd out there.
Yeah, on September 28th. All right, we got to wrap it up. Thanks for tuning into Speed City tonight. Thanks to Matt, our intern, for putting lots of stuff together for us tonight. Check us out on our website, speedcitybroadcast.com, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, SoundCloud. Lots of content all week long. Talk to you next week.
Ciao, y'all.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.